Seems like in the news this week, when you turn the TV on, seem to hear about a certain car maker and car makers having problems with their cars. And as Congress and as certain individuals and certain people who are responsible to be looking into these situations have come up and found that some of these problems in the cars have been there for a while. It looks like it's possible that some of the automakers may have been trying to cover up some of these issues. So we've heard different things in the news this week. And if you really look at the situation with automakers and coming to the forefront, if that's the case, if things have been looked at as trying to cover some of them up, look at the results now because of trying to cover it up. Instead of trying to fix the situation as soon as they saw the problems, yes, it would have costed money, but it also would have saved lives. But in the situation, what we're seeing is very possible that they wanted to wait and see how far it could go and maybe even cover it up and not have to take responsibility for their circumstances and their actions in making these cars. We also know at the same time that we, at this time of the year, read a scripture. It's not just focused. It is focused at this time, but it's also for us year-round. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. We read the scripture every year during this time. And it's talking about examining ourselves. We don't want to be like a manufacturer, an owner of a car company, and we see problems and let them slip, let them get by, and not take responsibility, and people can die. And you get a bad name. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And dropping down to verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." We don't want God to be judging us because we won't change, because we're not going to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. In an article, I'd like to refer here, read a little excerpt from Virtual Christian Magazine, talking about this same passage in the Bible, about examining ourselves. They go on to say, "It is like a routine check of the space shuttle to discover any flaw or potential flaw for the safety and well-being of the spaceship crew and program." And we know that a crack got by that examination, and look how many people died. A habitual continuance in well-doing is the key. A habitual continuance in the care of an automobile, a spaceship, or one's personal life is the best defense against disasters and crises that often leave us wishing we would have knowing we could have. Now we know there's accidents happen. People get into their cars and back over their own children. You know, just taking that extra little time and examining the situation. You know, instances like that can help us reflect on examining ourselves and our spiritual lives. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll see that in Paul's writings to Timothy, he also frequently encouraged Timothy to exhibit care in his spiritual life. And that's what, you know, God has done with the ministry, has gone with his word and the Bible to help us in our spiritual life as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul plainly tells Timothy not to neglect the gift that he was given to take and to take heed of himself. He says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. So Paul here is instructing Timothy to continue in examining yourself, continue in the work of God. It's for the benefit of you, Timothy, and for the people that you're serving. Let's turn over to 1 John. And as we're in this introduction, we all know what this scripture is. We've heard it many times. We referenced it quite a few times this past year. 1 John chapter 1, starting verse 6, talking about and examining ourselves, we must come to the realization that we are sinners, that we transgress the law, that we make mistakes, and that we have the blood of Jesus Christ to wash those away if we walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. So this is the message that is being told to us, inspired by God to the apostles, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is light, and in him is no darkness, none whatsoever. Verse 7, but if we walk in that light, he is in the light, talking about us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, talking about Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with one another. So if we are walking the path and surrendering to God, and we're putting God first, you know, there's a lawyer who came to Jesus Christ and said, what is the greatest law of all? What is the greatest law of all the laws? And we know what that law is, the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a commandment. We are commanded to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then our neighbor is ourself. The second is like unto it. So if we have a relationship with God, we're putting him first, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, putting out darkness. We can't hold on to sin and walk in the light. We can't. It's impossible. If we are doing that, then we can have fellowship with each other. And then, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9. And then, on this walk, in this relationship with God, as we confess our sins to God, because we continue to sin, we still transgress the law, we still make mistakes, we still sin, but it's something we don't want to practice. We recognize and see that we fall short. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And what comes to mind? For me, what comes to mind here, you know, is very openly in the model prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So if we confess our sins to God, he's going to forgive us. And if someone sins against us, we're supposed to forgive them. Is it more than just a forgiving of them? Today I'm going to show you that it is. We need to be doing something. We need to be doing something. And if we are doing that something, we have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. We're walking in the light. We're loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength so we can have a relationship with our neighbor. And then in that continued process, we're confessing our sins to our Father and having them washed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That washing will only come in the next process if we're loving our brother as ourself. And there's something that we must be doing to love our brother as ourself. As we see, it says, if we confess our sins, is that confessing our sins to more than just God? When we confess our sins to God, He's the only one who can forgive them through the blood of Jesus Christ. But isn't it when we sin against each other and we make a mistake, we're supposed to confess that sin and say, I'm sorry? Or do we deny it? Just think about that as we go on here. And for that process, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if we go back through this grouping right here, I read 5, 7, and 9, the odd verses, the whole positive verses. You go back and read the even ones, which we'll do right now. As in the Bible, it tells us, encourages to do things, encourages to not do things. They put them together. So you've got do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, etc., etc. And that's what we're being told right here. Going back to verse 6, but if we say that we have fellowship with Him, with our Father, with Jesus Christ, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we're lying. That's what it's saying here. If we're still holding on to sin, if we're not loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and look at that as a commandment. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if we are not forgiving others, if we're not coming to God and say, I need to surrender myself, I recognize and see myself as transgressing the law, I need you to be living in me, but no, I don't have any sin, then we're deceiving ourselves. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We need to be walking in the light. We can't be mixing the two. So today, let's examine ourselves. Let's examine ourselves today. We could look at a number of different areas, but we're in the process of growth and overcoming and changing. And I want to look at an area today, in the area of someone who sins against us, a sinning brother. Today, let's examine ourselves and how we respond to a sinning brother, or how we are not to respond to a sinning brother. How should we respond when we see a brother sinning? Let's turn over to Leviticus, and we'll see that we have a responsibility to respond to someone who sins against us. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. Leviticus 19, 17. Israelites were instructed, you shall not hate your brother. Okay? And here it's talking about, as I look this up, it's talking about all mankind. And we're also instructed to love all mankind as well. We're not to hate anyone. But here it's saying, but that doesn't mean that someone in the world sins against you. You go and do the same thing when a brother sins against you. God isn't calling people in the world at this time. Their response is not what it should be as to what a sinning brother's should be, because they don't have the understanding of God. Yes, they can say they're sorry, but we need to be using the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our relationships, because we have been called and surrendered to God and have made a covenant contract to keep the commandment, to search what that commandment means and to apply that commandment in our lives, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you shall not hate anyone in your heart. And it says here, you shall surely rebuke your neighbor. Here it's talking about, and look this up, neighbor is those you have fellowship with. They're the whole tribes of Israel, okay? They're companions, they're brothers of like minds. And it says, you shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. So we're not to bear sin because of his actions. It says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. God is making a commandment. So, before we delve into this, we're not to hate our brother. We're told that many times in the Bible. We're not supposed to act upon our anger. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, we're not to judge our brother, not to condemn our brother. And I've done that way too many times. And we can see ourselves sometimes when we do that. As we go through this message, maybe some things will pop out and recognize and see that, hey, we have to make changes. But we don't want to condemn our brother. God has called us, all of us, and here, hopefully, to come out, to get that beam out of our eye and recognize and see that we are sinners, that we transgress the law, we make mistakes. And if we can see that, then we can see that our brother sins too. But he's also trying. When I say brother, he and her, all of us. And we also don't want to dig up, evil things on others. We're told over in Proverbs, I'm making reference to this too, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, we don't want to be digging up evil to hurt others. I've had someone, an acquaintance, and who thought it was their gift, God-given gift, that God's inspired them to be able to find faults in others and to let others know about those faults. I hope that's still not the case, but we can look at sin as, and we say something evil about someone. We're not supposed to say anything evil about someone, but when someone does, we know the harm for those who have, on the receiving end, how much harm that can cause. It's almost like a pickup truck driving down the freeway, delivering newspapers, but it's got all their newspapers and they're driving to their neighborhood, and for some reason, they all fly out the back of the truck. And I've seen that a couple of times in my life, not just newspapers, but some type of paper just all over the place on the freeway, and the wind is blowing and there's paper everywhere. That's almost like telling, gossiping, speaking evil of someone else, having to go pick that up. It's hard to repair. It's hard to fix. We see all those papers, like, my thinking is, how are they going to pick all that up? How are they going to pick all that up? It's almost impossible for that person. We don't want to take vengeance or hold a grudge. I'm just giving some references here, things that we've known in the past. And when Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, we know that vengeance is God's. And we don't want to look on others, condemn or despise. Like over in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, you can look that up later. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. That Pharisee says, I do this, and I'm saying how good he is and all that he does. But look at over here, the sinner, this tax collector. We don't want to be looking down on others. We're all in this together. We just read First John chapter 1, that we all make mistakes, we all sin, and we need to walk in the light, we need to come out of darkness. And that's a continued process of confessing our sins to God every day, throughout the day, so we can be washed and be clean, so we can have a relationship with each other. So we need to look out for each other. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 17, verse 3. And we'll look at situation when our brother When a brother sins against us, what do we do? Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother transgresses against you, rebuke him. So in other words, here we're told that if your brother transgresses against you, don't just forgive him and let it go. It says, let him know. Rebuke him. Let him know of the offense. And if he repents, forgive him. So, doesn't mean if he doesn't repent, we don't forgive him. You know, as we'll go through that in a little bit. But if he repents, we must not bring up the sin again. I too many times have stated and caught myself twice this week. And, you know, when someone made a mistake and it's like, I'm sorry. You've said you're sorry in the past. I don't need to bring that up that way. I'm sorry. I just need to, let's just focus on this issue right here. So we can get into the heat of our anger sometimes, and that is wrong too. So when we ask for forgiveness and we're seeking forgiveness, that we are not allowed to bring that sin up to that person anymore. They've asked for forgiveness. They recognize and they saw that they're wrong and they're asking. We go forward. But if he trespasses, and if he trespasses against you seven times in a day, turns again to you saying, I repent, we shall forgive him. We need to be forgiven through each other, right? So what's this individual doing? He's coming to sinning brother. We're looking at this. Here's a sinning brother. He sins against us. What's he doing? He's coming to us and confessing his sin to us. We are not, they also need to go to God and ask for their sins to be forgiven. You know, we can forgive them, but that sin, they transgressed against God. It's God's law. But a sinning brother would come and confess his sin to you or I. And look what the apostle said to the Lord in verse 5. Give us more faith. Give us more faith. It's like, wow. You know, we can't do this on our own. Over in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5, you know, talks about this open rebuke. It's necessary. When a sinning brother, one who's been called by God, who's seeking that commandment to love God, all right, we're all in this together. We're all growing to overcome and change. Open rebuke is necessary. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Now, why is that? Why is open rebuke? Because it's going to help our brother. It's going to address the problem. It's going to let them know that they're sinning, and it's going to help them. Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So a friend, a brother, will correct you, correct us, and it will hurt. It may hurt for a little while, but we'll get over it. We can grow from it. Matthew 18, and we'll see. Here we have the heart and core of how to respond to a sinning brother. Matthew 18, verse 15. But if your brother shall transgress against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So there's a number of steps in this passage that we just read that we want to come to the ultimate conclusion of what this verse says at the very end, which is to gain our brother. The first one, it's talking about our brother. Our brother says, your brother. He's not our enemy. He's our brother. We're to be concerned about him. And who is the sin against? The sin is against you. he's trespassed against you. And it says to go tell him, not anyone else, not to go consult with someone else first. It says go tell him. And what do we tell him? We then tell him his fault. We let him know that, hey, your sin, there was a fault here. We don't need to generalize. We don't need to say, oh, so-and-so, you don't have enough love. You don't have enough love. You know, that's not going to do anything. We don't want to get into motives either and say, well, you're doing this because you don't like me. We're generalizing. We're telling people something that it's in general. It's not going to do any good. We need to check ourselves if we're in that situation. We need to stick with the behavior, not the motives. We don't need to be labeling our brother. We need to tell him how his behavior has affected you. And how can he argue with that? Oh, no, I didn't affect... It's like, listen, it did. And we need to approach our brother in humility. We need to approach our brother as we already have forgiven him. If we haven't forgiven our brother, then it's not time to go to our brother. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We need to forgive our brother first. We're going in the wrong attitude. We need to have humility. We may need to pray about it. Definitely study about it. Maybe even fast about it. To go to our brother in the right attitude. Because we don't want to go in an arrogant way and saying, you hurt me, I'm going to show you. No, it's to gain a brother. You know, we can go to him and to our brother, you know, get him to confess his sin. Right? We want to go, as we just read over in Leviticus, we don't want to be harmed by not approaching our brother. We are required to approach our brother. You know, we can confess our sins too. To the extent, I'm just as human as you are. I make those same mistakes, but I just wanted to bring it up to you. And he may come back and say, you know what? Yeah, you're right. But we may need to delve a little bit deeper. I'm here for you. I love you. And I'm concerned about you. And the scriptures say that we need to grow and help each other to overcome. So we address it in love. And when they see that we're coming in love, that helps. That helps a lot. And another point that we have here, it's between the two of you alone. It shows us that we care. And here it says, if he hears you, and that's what we're hoping for. We want our brother to hear us. I want to read to you. You don't need to turn over there, but you can write it down. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. It says, one rebuking a scorner gets shame to himself, and one rebuking a wicked one gets himself a blemish. Says verse 8, do not reprove a scorner. We can't go to someone who doesn't want to hear it. Lest he hate you. But it says, give to a wise man and he will love you. Give to a wise one and he will be wiser still. Teach a just one and he will increase in learning. So we should look for that. We should look because we want the truth in us. We want to change. We want to overcome. So that's something that we should desire and look towards. So we should also be able to turn it and give it and help our brother as well. So we see the growth in this. And number 7, you've gained a brother. I mean, when we have that type of relationship with each other, we bond together. We grow closer together to help each other. You know, what greater way to set an example to others around us? Now, we can't do this with others in the world. They don't have God's Holy Spirit. They're our neighbor, and we love them too, but we're brothers and sisters. and we have a special relationship with each other to grow, to overcome, to confess our sins to each other when we sin. And also, if it helps the other person trying to overcome, we can confess our sins too. Now, there's a sermon online by Mr. Roy Holiday, and it's a recent one. It says, How to Respond to the Sins of Others. And I got some of this material from his message. That there, he also talks, and I think it'd be really good to listen to it. It's like over an hour long. And he goes in that message that there are times when we see someone sinning that we would not go to our brother. And maybe he isn't even a brother. Maybe at one time he's a brother. But he talks in there, there are times when we see someone sinning that we'd go directly to the minister, directly to the ministry. And just to touch on, you know, he has 3 points in that sermon, but just as an example, I want to reference Romans 16:17. As Paul says, I exhort you, brothers, to watch those making divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and to avoid them. So those who are trying to teach something else, those who are trying to push others out of the church, teach their own way, teach another doctrine, we're to avoid those people. So he goes on and he actually emphasizes in that area. So what we're looking at today, it's about getting a brother to see that he sinned. Getting him to see that he sinned so he can continue to walk in the light. To get back on track. To stay on track. To love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's turn over to James chapter 5. As we're focusing on confessing our sins, recognizing and seeing that when someone shows us a sin, that we need to address it. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brothers, if anyone among you err from the truth, and if anyone turns him back, know, verse 20, that he who turns back the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, from eternal death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Well, that shows we have a responsibility, that responsibility is actually given to us to be able to do something to help a sinning brother. In verse 16, in the same chapter, it says, confess your trespasses or your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one avails much. I looked up that Greek word this morning, that you may be healed. You know, it talks about some verses just before that about being healed physically through the anointing and being healed in God's time. Here it's talking about, the Greek word actually has 2 different meanings. It means to cure or to heal as well. But when I look this up, and I'm no Greek scholar, but when you look this up, and it actually breaks down the meanings to the verses, they had this one here, that to make whole, to free one from errors and sins, to bring about one's salvation. So we need to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and continue in this same theme. Shows that we need to deal with the issue sooner than later. We don't want to let things build up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And you should put on the new man who, according to God, was created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, put away lying. What did we just read over in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6, 8, and 10, the even chapters? You know, if we're not walking in the truth, we're a liar. If we say we're without sin, we're a liar. etc., etc. It says, therefore, put away lying. We're sinners. We transgress the law. We make mistakes. That each man speak truth with his neighbor. We need to walk in righteousness. We need to help each other out. For we are members one of another. We're supposed to be there for each other. God has called us to be an example to the world. And what greater way can that be than having love for each other when the world doesn't? They're taking advantage of each other. In front of your face, they may be talking good behind your back if they can get ahead. That's the whole game. That's what Satan pushes. Be angry and do not sin, as it says, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Be angry with the sin. And do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. We need to forgive the person who sinned against us before that sun goes down. We may not have the chance to talk to them, to speak with them, to address the issue yet, because we ourselves may not be right. Need to fast about it, pray about it. I would definitely want to pray about it before going to my brother, making sure that I'm in the right attitude in the right way. But we definitely want to forgive them. Ask God, help me to forgive them. And then we can go apply the action as soon as we can when we see it's appropriate. Galatians 6 is another scripture. Let's turn over there. Tells us how to deal with each other, fulfilling the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers. Talking about brothers, that's in the church. If a man is overtaken in a fault, you, the spiritual ones, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So to do this, we need to confront the sinning brother. And then it says, those who are spiritual. Here's where we need to do a little evaluating. Am I going to the individual to condemn? We had a sermonette not too long ago, talking about John chapter 8, where we had a number of men, the accusers, bringing this lady to be judged. To test Jesus. She knew she was a sinner. Jesus Christ says, where's your accusers? After he had wrote some information in the sand, in the dirt. They felt guilty. They left. Where's your accusers? They're not there. Jesus Christ said, I don't accuse you either. We're not to accuse one another. But, Jesus Christ also said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. So we make mistakes, but the attitude of the woman, she was there to listen. She was there to listen, and we need to respond. So again, what is our intent? Our intent is here that we want to restore such a brother. We want to do it in a spirit of meekness. Again, already forgiving them before we go to them. Not just put it in his face to make us feel better. And we need to consider ourselves. And considering ourselves sometimes, would this person be able to take some correction from me? Maybe my actions haven't been right. You know. Need to think about that too. Because, you know, if we apply all this and we think we're going to get a positive response, it doesn't always happen. You know, sometimes a person may need to think about it, and they'll come back, and then maybe they won't. And as you continue, you know, you go back over in Matthew, where it talks about if a brother doesn't listen, the process of what to do next, you know, needs to be implemented. But we need to look at them as our brother. We also need to look at circumstances. What's a person's background? Being careful going to an individual. You know, we don't, may not know everything. They may be working on that sin. Or they may just had a real rough upbringing. Who knows if they have, that's a bit smoking or drinking, anything like that, drugs, who knows? We just need to be considering ourselves, going in a spirit of meekness. And then finally, we need to be praying for them. We need to be asking God to give them the gift of repentance. Now let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. And if we're really concerned about an individual, a brother, if we're really seeking to put God first in our lives, to follow that commandment, 1 John chapter 5, 16, we want God to give them, us, that gift of repentance. Because it's only through that gift of repentance that's going to help us to see that we're wrong and that we need to change and that we need God to help us to overcome. It's not us that is going to do it. We're there as an instrument in God's hands. But verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. So we'll ask God. And that sin is a sin that maybe they don't see. Maybe they're struggling with. They're trying to overcome. And when he will give him life, for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. Talking about a sin that God can't pardon. If we're going to be so hardened and not want to change, know what we need to do, but we're not going to change, God can't forgive that sin. And we can't help anyone else see that either. God says, don't pray for that. But pray for a sinning brother who's seeking me. I do not say that we should pray about that, but all unrighteousness is sin. So all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So we sin, it doesn't lead to death, as long as we're on that path of continued confessing our sins to God, asking for them to be cleansed. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as we begin to wrap this up. Who, as we were talking about here, it's emphasized again here where Jesus Christ can work with those he calls and those who respond to that calling. As Jesus passed on in verse 9, Matthew 9, as Jesus passed on there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So Matthew arose and he followed Jesus Christ. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Well, these individuals that came with Jesus Christ, you know, they knew they were sinners. They responded to Jesus Christ. Did they know their sins? No. We don't know our sins either. We work on them. God shows them as we grow. So when Jesus said, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So those who know they transgress the law, know that they're sinners, our brother and us, you know, God can work with us. And he works in many ways. He works through us. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So again, those who respond and recognize and see that we need God, that we're sinners and we need to overcome. So today we've gone over some basic principles regarding how to respond and how not to respond to a sinning brother. Now, this is actually definitely one of the more difficult areas in the Bible that we need to work on and we need to apply in our lives. And we can all grow in this. I want to read an article again from a different article from the Virtual Christian Magazine. It says, the title is, You Raise Me Up Because You Are Your Brother's Keeper. I'm looking to see when the date was. I'm not sure when the date is on this. But it talks about us. We are our brother's keeper. I'm going to read. We are our brother's keeper. In Genesis chapter 4, 9, Cain asked God the question, am I my brother's keeper? Cain was trying to deny he had any responsibility for caring for his brother. You know, Cain and Abel were blood brothers. You know, if you look at us, we're blood brothers and sisters as well through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are our brother's keeper. The very fact that God asked Cain, where is Abel your brother? Laid responsibility on Cain's shoulders. Just as when we see our brother sinning, we don't want to have sin hold on to that sin upon ourselves by not addressing that, as we're told over in Leviticus either. Where is Abel your brother? That laid responsibility on Cain's shoulders. He indeed was his brother's keeper. You know what? In this article, it goes on to say, and this is something that we can't fix right now, what I'm going to read. What I'm talking about today is we can fix this. We can be a light to the world. We can spread the gospel. We can spread the message by people seeing the work in us, and then a work can be done. But they go in this article, it talks about the pain and the suffering in the world. And my mouth just dropped. But you know what? These people can't respond. They're not called. And they can't be told without God calling them to change, to come out of the sins that you're in. They don't even know what sin is. They don't even recognize who God is. They can see it in an example in us, and we still are to spread the light, be a light. But it says, more people than ever before need help. It says, in the next hours. It doesn't say days, it says hours. 1,439 teens will attempt suicide. 2,795 teenage girls will become pregnant. 15,000 teens will use drugs for the first time. And 3,500 teens will run away. And probably by the time we started church and ended church. That is mind-boggling. We can't go to them right now and for them to respond and listen. We have an amazing gift from God to recognize and see that we are and that we do transgress His law, that we don't want to do it, that we still sin, and that we have the blood of Jesus Christ to help us to overcome. If you stop and think about it, I want to turn over to Psalms chapter 51 in the closing verse, chapter and two verses, that here's David, king of Israel, and all his sins, and they're recorded, sin after sin after sin after sin. Do you think David could get up here and teach without confessing his sins and saying, I'm a sinner, I've messed up? I mean, he tells us over in verse 10, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. I want to be truthful. I don't want to be lying. I need you. I need my sins forgiven. I need to change. And in so doing, just as we in so doing, as we confess our sins to God, draw close to Him, right? What does David want to do? What do we want to do? What we've been talking about. Verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. People who transgress the law. I will be able to teach those who transgress the law. Can we teach the world today that they're transgressing the law? They're not going to listen. But a sinning brother can listen. And sinners shall be converted to you. We will listen, we'll be turned back. He wants to be able to teach that. In his day, the vast majority of the time, other than Samuel, there was no one else that had God's Holy Spirit. He could still set an example. We can still set an example. But to turn someone away from sin needs to recognize and see that they're sinners. We're brothers in Christ. We need to help each other to overcome. So in conclusion, let's put into practice and respond to the sins of a brother, but only as a loving brother.